mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but run.
Diving into the 2025 Green Bay Packers schedule. Gabe, I did see some griping yesterday on social media about the gold package games. And it's not so much the opponents, because they're playing the Commanders and the Eagles for those gold package games. It's the time of the games, because people coming up from Milwaukee. Is there a legitimate gripe there for the 2:07:15 games?
I mean, it's unfortunate, because it's not just primetime games, it's weekday primetime games, right? So you're playing the Thursday game and the Monday game. So driving up from Milwaukee is always the tough part there. So unfortunate for the gold package, but they had a really good schedule last year. They got all three divisional games. I'm sure the civil war between the green package and gold package will continue this year, much to my dismay.
I've never thought of it that way, but yeah, the North versus the South.
Well, I want us to come together as a Packer fan base, and it just doesn't seem like that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, we will see how many other fans were in said stadium, and if, God forbid, the Packers lose, it will be blamed on the gold package.
But again, as I just mentioned, you're not really setting them up for success.
Well, that's the inherent flaw that we talk about every time people complain about this. Doesn't make a lot of sense to make people travel on a Thursday or Monday.
But again, the NFL's not factoring that in
No.
when they're putting together the schedule. It's just, it's unfortunate. It's the way that it
Correct.
Is.
Wait, but doesn't Green Bay get to determine which games are gold package? The NFL wouldn't have anything to do with that,
well, the
would
gold,
they?
But they're the same every year. So it's the second game of the season.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes. So that's like the standard policy.
I thought the Packers had autonomy over which ones end up being the gold package, but you're saying no, that's locked in, and then it's
they
whenever
could alter
the
process.
So how does it work every other year when you have more home games? Does
it alternates who gets more home games between green and gold.
Does the Milwaukee package get more than a 9 home game season?
Last year they did. So you always because you always get 3 tickets with that, and typically it was a preseason game. So this year you still have 3 tickets. It's just you get the Seahawks game and then the Commanders and Eagles game. Last year, because there was only 1 preseason game, that goes to the green package, and the gold package gets 3 regular season games.
So let's go through the schedule, Chew. It's your favorite thing. When the schedule comes out every year, we do this. We play a little NFL music, and you tell us week by week whether or not it is a win or a loss for the green and gold.
You want me to read off the schedule? I mean, I already called my agent. Hey, I'm exhausted here.
This is your favorite game to play.
I know, and I'm starting off optimistic, Gabe.
Yeah? This is 2 years in a row where we've had to pry the schedule game out of him, even though he'll do it 79 times.
Oh, before the start of the season, yes. This is not the first time we're playing this game.
And we'll get a mid-season one, a quarter season one.
I'm starting off optimistic, okay? Detroit, loss.
What? You just told me you were starting
off
optimistic.
Hold on. Washington, win.
Okay.
Cleveland.
I thought you were going to say loss.
Win.
Yep.
Dallas. Win.
And there's your 3-1 start to the season that you're talking about with Jason. That's how he's looking at it optimistically.
Cincinnati. Win.
Ooh.
Arizona. Win.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Loss.
Damn. Losing to Rodgers?
Yep.
That stinks.
Tough. That's tough. That's like going to Lambeau. Pittsburgh's a tough place to play. Arizona. No, hold on.
We're on Carolina.
Carolina win. Philly loss. Giants win. Home Minnesota win. Detroit loss. Chicago win. Denver loss. Chicago at Chicago win. Baltimore, win.
Ho!
Minnesota, loss.
Whoa. Josh, he was doing the tabulating back there.
Got him at 11-6.
11-6.
That's when I played this game last night, that's what I came up with as well.
I'm assuming
the same game?
Little different, no. Little different here and there, but same record. I had him at 11-6.
Okay. I don't think they'll be as bad in the division.
They can't be.
I still think... You know, they lose twice to
So you think their division the record will be what? They'll have 2 losses in the division?
They will have 3 because they will lose at Minnesota.
Yeah, so he's got
But I got them beating Chicago twice and then splitting with everyone but Detroit.
At 11-6, they should be a playoff team, but are you thinking they're a wild card team then?
Yes. Detroit will win. Detroit, because there's no way they're as banged up as they were last year. And their roster, for the most part, is pretty much the same.
But again,
the coordinators are different. Yes.
I think in the offensive coordinator is more important, I think, than the defensive coordinator.
The only thing that scares me about the start, because it is a tough start, and I took the high road, that they're going to be without Watson and these guys are going to be young. And I'll be really interested because, you know, we talked about the whole Jaden Reed thing with you're the number one. Dobbs knows he's out of here. Mm-hmm. So what's his attitude going to be going into the season? Is it going to be pout or is it going to be, you know what, I'm going to have a hell of a year and then I'll get paid by someone else? So that's my only question there.
What does your gut tell you on him?
Well, I know that when he read that, he's like, bleep this place. You know, every player vents to whoever, your agent, you know, your significant other, another player, everyone does. You know, everybody does. I did, you know?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I played it well when Keith came in. But ultimately, I was, you know, I was like, screw this. You know, Keith would, in the Super Bowl year, because my role was different, Keith would have 7 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown. I'd have 1 for 6. I'd be like, bleep this. Everybody does it. Everybody. Everybody complains. You know, it's just hopefully he doesn't get to that level where it affects your play.
How strange is that? And I know, I guess you never had to go through this, but going through a contract year knowing you're not coming back, like having the motivation not necessarily be, oh, I'm going to, you know, it's okay, I got to play as best as I can so somebody else pays me.
You do that, but does the coaching staff, you know, take away your touches because of that?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get mad. They give you the opportunity to succeed even though you're not coming back. That's fine. And it's harder when you're involved with the ball. You know what I mean? If you're an O-lineman, who cares?
Yeah, the job's the same.
Yeah. But if it involves the ball, then it becomes a problem. You know? And, you know, Dobbs got a track record. I hate to say it, but he's got a track record. But
well, that to me is always going to be something, even when he goes to whatever team he goes to next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough to get over to. You literally quit on your team. Like, I feel that's the biggest black mark that is so hard to overcome of, yeah, you just, you took your ball and you went home.
Would you guys move him? Pittsburgh. Give me a
yes.
Give me a 4th-round pick.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I doubt you get a 4th-round pick for him, but I would move him.
What do you think they get for him?
Conditional 6th.
Really? I mean, what was he?
He's a 4th.
Ah. I mean, he's not bad.
No, but he's not.
He's a guy.
Yeah.
He's a 3 on a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to that then, because obviously we've been talking about the schedule, but I think that that is interesting as well, because we talked to Jason earlier, and whether or not fans want to buy into this theory, Jason has his thumb on the pulse of this team. Nobody covers this team closer mm-hmm. than Jason Wilde does. So when Jason says these things, I give them merit. I give them value. I don't overinflate them. We're not exaggerating the situation. But there may be a question about how does Brian Gutekunst handle these, as Jason said, tiny little brush fires that seem to be popping up. This would be a way of handling one of them, potentially. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if Brian Gutekunst recognizes that this is something that could get out of hand, not necessarily out of hand now, let's not again overinflate, but would trading Dobbs be a way to mitigate that brush fire?
Yes. Yes, it would. Because then they don't have to worry about keeping everybody happy. And, you know, because he complained about his targets, but didn't even realize he was getting the most targets.
Mm-hmm. Thought he should be getting more.
Yeah. It's
if the coaching staff has any hesitancy of, all right, are we going to have to deal with that again? Like, if that's a thought you have to deal with, then you move on.
But does he at all deserve the benefit of the doubt that he did learn from the first situation? You know, again, this is the tricky part, right? It's like if you're in a relationship and somebody messes up, do you say, okay, I'm going to give you another chance, knowing that they could mess up again? And in this case, the mess up affects the dynamic. Maybe it affects your job. It affects something else other than just the one-to-one relationship.
This is as big, for a football team, I think this is about as big of a mess up as you can have.
Players know when they're not coming back.
Yeah, he knows he's not going to come back. He quit on the team before he even knew that he probably wasn't coming back. And probably sealed his own fate by doing what he did.
That's why Elgton Jenkins is doing what he's doing. That's the biggest problem. That is the biggest fire that the fire department has not showed up for yet. Because he seems like a guy that's going to stand his ground. And there's a part of me that agrees with him. What I don't agree with is you got two more years. If this was 1 year, then I could understand it. But you got
well,
two.
Well, part of it is I think he's looking at that contract and going, I might only have one more year.
And he knows he's not coming back.
Yeah, but that's why he probably wants some guaranteed money this year and next, so he has that safety of being here for both years of that contract.
But he does have leverage.
Yeah.
He does have leverage.
What's the leverage that he's
the leverage is
center?
Who's going to play center. Right. Right? Are you going to move Zach Tom over there? You don't know. Elgton Jenkins has played center and played it pretty well. Jacob Monk isn't ready. Otherwise, they would have said, well, we're going to have competition at center.
I'm just sad.
Because it's cold?
Well, because you got,
I know.
You got his name right.
I didn't want to beat a dead horse.
I was just kind of hoping you'd make some sort of cold reference again.
Right. I did.
Who are you?
I don't know. Yeah, you've changed. I ask myself that.
Doing research, making calls, getting
I don't like this, Chewy. I want to get out in front of this. I don't. Whatever this is.
I feel I might get caught, so I got to pick up my game a little bit.
Well, whoever gave you that impression, hallelujah, Josh.
Think Josh has the power to cut you?
Yeah, no chance.
Yeah, all that. Digital stuff. I could be swearing every other word and not even be swearing. Who knows what he could do back there?
Justin weighing in the 262 saying, if you trade him now, could that show other players that if you pout enough, you get your way and are moved? So he's talking about the other side of it.
Does any player take a trade as a good thing?
Yeah. Is it Darius Smith? Did he get traded or did he just get sent packing?
I believe that was cut.
Do they look at it?
I think it's if you know that you don't have a future in your current place, then being traded is sort of a godsend, right? It just, instead of delaying the inevitable, it just rips the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. I think that, you know, if I was in his situation and I thought, because everyone thinks they're better than they are, you know, and I knew that I wasn't going to be number one, and I think I'm going to be number one. Yeah, I would say move me now. Right? It's getting rid of the potential of a problem.
But the other,
I will say this: if his slate was clean and there was no not showing up for 2 days and pouting, and I'm not getting enough target, it'd be fine.
Yeah, 100%.
It'd be fine.
100%.
Wouldn't be a problem at all. They still have to massage it, you know.
But whoever trades for him has to keep that in mind as well.
Yes.
And that's a mark that's going to be tough for him to overcome, because when you're just, like you said, Chu, a guy who's probably number three.
Yeah.
Okay, do we want the number three who's going to be happy in his role, or the number three who is going to pout if he doesn't get enough targets? Like, that affects his future as well.
Yes. Yeah, because no one wants a problem.
Versus handling it professionally.
You imagine if Jair was a model citizen.
Yeah.
If he was a model citizen, there was no going out as a captain when you're not a captain. All it was a playing thing.
Oh.
He'd be gone already. No one wants to take on that headache.
But he's good enough. If he was as good of a corner as Romeo Doubs as a receiver,
yes.
He'd have been released months ago.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure.
Which is to say, not as good.
Correct.
Yes.
As a receiver, as a cornerback. Just want to make sure I was following that logic. All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Got to get to top 8 at 8. That's coming up next. But before we do that, from the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy celebration with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you don't want to miss. Join Wade and Diener on June 27th at the garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum and make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now at wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com. That's wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
At Ewald Automotive Group, they don't just see the uniform, they see the people in them. They will service those who serve, our brave first responders. Thank you for your dedication, sacrifice, and for keeping us safe. As always, service members and their families can benefit from the Military Advantage program with special pricing and incentives. And on every vehicle and new car sold this month, Ewald will make a donation to local military and first responder charities. Thank you from Ewald Automotive Group. As always, it starts at ewaldauto.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
The food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
List of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans on that Carblos Talk and Text line. 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. Straightforward list today. I am looking for the 8 pitchers with the most strikeouts in Brewers history. 8 pitchers, most strikeouts in Brewers history.
What? The what?
Did I stutter?
May as well have. 8 pitchers with the most strikeouts in Brewers history. Talk about not being in a wheelhouse.
I got it.
I don't think you do.
Who you got?
Steady Freddy.
Freddy Peralta just cracked the 1,000 strikeout mark. He is number 4 on the list. 1,001 strikeouts in his career. 4th Brewer to ever strike out 1,000 batters.
Well, I did see that on social media this week, so I suppose that should have been something I was... strikeouts. Gosh, I just... Yeah, you had to have played for a long time, huh? Or at least several seasons. Come on, Gabe. Give me something.
You want me to go again?
Go for it.
Ben Sheets.
Ben Sheets, number 2 on the list. 1,206 strikeouts.
You want me to go again?
If you're ready.
Yovanis Gallardos.
Is number 1 on the list. 1,226 strikeouts. You going to play today? Just going to sit
oh,
out.
Oh, my back.
You're going to gonna Romeo back. Dobbs this?
This is from carrying me. God, those are really good guesses, Chew.
So far, Chewy has 1, 2, and 4. Jen has nothing.
Corbin Burns?
Corbin Burns, number 6 on the list. 870 strikeouts for Corbin Burns.
Woodruff.
Brandon Woodruff is number 8 on the list. 788 career strikeouts.
This is tough. Looking at the list, Gabe, how many of them will I know that are left?
Probably 1.
That's what I was afraid of. Kyle Loesch?
Scrolling? All right, you can go back to bed now.
Kyle Loesch with 374 is 37th on the list.
So no then?
That's a no. You know, also that puts him right behind Devin Williams. Not that anybody was going to guess Devin Williams, but the fact that a reliever had more than Kyle Loesch kind of tells you what that one is.
Kyle Loesch.
Dude, I'm grasping Randy straws Wolf here.
Randy Wolf.
Sean Markham.
Yeah, they're all right there in that wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Wolf, by the way, was 38.
Oh, nice shot.
Just two behind Kyle Loesch.
Wasn't there like a Wellington or a Well?
Who?
Well. He gave me tickets one time and I blew him off, but I think he was the
That is
one.
Your favorite thing to do, is have somebody try to do something nice for you and then blow him off.
It's a two-hour drive from Green Bay.
Brust blown off, Jim Nance at the Masters.
Reset the list while he thinks.
Yovani Gallardo is one. Ben Sheets is two. Freddie Peralta is three. Corbin Burns is six. Brandon Woodruff is eight. Kyle Loesch is 37.
Go Raleigh, even though I know it's wrong.
Raleigh Finger's not going to be in the top 50.
How long did he play in Milwaukee?
9-9-0.
Raleigh, 2 years.
37-76.
Yeah. As a reliever.
Yeah.
This is the top eight strikeout leaders for the Milwaukee Brewers all time.
Yep. Most strikeouts by a Brewers pitcher in history.
800-990-3776. 800-990-3776.
All right. You know, you guys got five. You got the five you should have. I mean, Chewy got four of them, but...
Hey, when you said it, I was like, this is not going to go well.
Well, you're doing the series with the paper trail.
Yeah.
I thought that maybe you would have guessed Yovani Gallardo or Ben Sheets.
True, yes, that's true. We talked a lot about CeCe Sabathia.
Sure.
Ned Yost.
Yeah.
Ryan Braun.
But it's, those weren't the only players on the team.
Correct.
Turns out Ben Sheets was pretty good.
Yep. Yovani Gallardo should have been guessed. Yovani was hurt a portion of
yes.
Ben was hurt a portion of that season as
Ben
well.
Ben was hurt a portion of just about every season.
A portion of his career. 800-990-3776. First up on the line is Chef Ed. Good morning, Chef Ed. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
Yeah, could you reset it quick?
Yovani Gallardo is one. Ben Sheets is two. Freddie Peralta is four. Corbin Burns, six. Brandon Woodruff, eight.
How about Teddy Aguirre?
He's number three on the list, 1,081 strikeouts, so he is the fourth member of that 1,000 strikeout team for the Brewers.
And then I'll go way back. How about Jimmy Slayton?
Jim Slayton has the most innings pitched in Brewers history, so he is number five on the list, 929 strikeouts.
All right, one more. It's got to be a starter, can't be a reliever. How about Larry Sorensen?
Larry Sorensen. I do not have Larry Sorensen in the top 50.
Good run, Chef Ed. We appreciate the contributions. Let's go out to Dumpy in West Bend. Dumpy, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Let's go with Randy Wolf.
No.
I believe that was a shot.
Was it a shot?
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay, fair enough.
Sure.
Don't think it was a real guess.
Chico Escuela.
Not on the list.
Let's go out to Ted in the world. Ted in the world. Good morning, Ted. You're on with Jen.
How about Cal Eldred?
Cal Eldred.
Oh, I forgot about
686 strikeouts, number 11.
Oh, still a good guess.
So close.
Yeah.
Almost as good as my guesses. Jason in Waterford, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Yeah, can I get a reset of the list, please?
All right, we've got seven of the eight. Yovani Gallardo is one. Ben Sheets is two. Teddy Higuera, three. Freddie Peralta, four. Jim Slayton is five. Corbin Burns, six. We do not have seven. And Brandon Woodruff, with 788 strikeouts, is number eight.
How about Bill Wegman?
Bill Wegman, number 10 on the list.
That's the guy I was talking. That wasn't
strikeouts.
Off.
Well,
started with a W.
Well, Wegman.
Josh, that was close, right?
You blew off Bill Wegman?
Yeah. I mean, he's not in the top eight.
You blew off Cindy Crawford.
Yeah. At least not.
Clement
I thought
Brownsville.
We embargoed that.
Clement Brownsville, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Chris Capuano?
Chris Capuano, we're right around there. He's number 12 on the list, 643 strikeouts.
Good guess.
Brian Oostberg, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete this top 8 at 8 list?
Let's go with Moose Haas.
Moose Haas struck out 800 batters. He is number 7 on the list.
Nice. I should have known that. I played golf with him.
Played
but
golf
he was
with
so
Moose?
Short. He's short.
Moose Haas?
Is that
yeah.
6 foot?
Yeah, he has listed as 6 foot here.
Ah.
Think that's a little false?
That's the Gilbert meter.
What?
Good old Gilbert Brown.
Uh-huh.
330. Okay. Put both legs on the scale, sir.
All right, now I get it. All right, that was a good list. I'm sorry I couldn't contribute more to the success of the list, but good list by you, Gabe. Appreciate that. And who was our big winner this morning? Was it Brian in Oostburg? Terrific. Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is known for its endless ways to win. And Friday, June 27th, Potawatomi is showing why that is the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. But you got to be there to win. Well, maybe you don't. You have to be there to win your share. June 27th only at Potawatomi. More info online. Must be 21 years old to play.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like,
yeah. No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like...
Scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
No better time than right now to update those windows and doors at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because right now Pella offering up to 6 years 0% financing. Fine folks at Pella were at my house yesterday, and we're doing it. We're putting in a new front door at our house, and of course I was only going to be using Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Team super helpful, gave me a couple of different options. Even were able to provide some AI generated photos of what that could potentially look like on my front door. So set up your free in-home consultation just like I did. You commit to nothing at this point. They listen to your vision, suggest the Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality, and those customizations are seemingly endless. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions apply. Deal ends May 31st. So visit PellaWI.com today.
Both Joshy and Gabe said earlier this morning that the game they are most looking forward to is that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Sunday, October 26, 7:20 p.m. on NBC. That is Sunday Night Football. And that is because they believe that Aaron Rodgers will be under center for the Steelers. Well, Chef Ed thinks that you guys are wrong. He says, I hate to throw a wrench into this system, but Rodgers will not be the quarterback in Pittsburgh. Tomlin doesn't want that circus in town.
Want to bet?
I think he's got no choice.
I mean, if Tomlin doesn't want the circus in town, then why are they still waiting for him? Why did they take the meeting in the first place? Him and Tomlin seemingly have a pretty good relationship, and that's always been kind of a
rumored
spot.
And it sounds
spot.
Like a mutual understanding
yep.
of whenever this stuff gets figured out, whenever you are clear of the personal situation that you are currently going through, we gotcha.
I don't want to downplay whatever personal situation is, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the offseason, doesn't want to participate in it. So him coming in halfway through or whatever he decides is what he needs to do is probably the outcome here, isn't it?
I mean, is he married?
Maybe.
I mean, that would be a reason why he doesn't want to go to Pittsburgh any earlier than he has to.
Well, right, but again, to Josh's point, it's not like he has ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not new. That goes back to 2010, 2011.
Right.
Is that the personal situation, though?
Him getting married?
Yes.
No, I think there's more to it.
It feels like it's, yeah, like the health of somebody. I mean, again, it's all speculation because he didn't really divulge any details, but it seemed more serious than just getting married.
I thought we had discussed... Scratch that. I know we have discussed whether or not Aaron Rodgers is wrong about thinking that him not being at the off-season workouts is irrelevant. We've said that, like, okay, you may not need the reps. You may not need to be out there throwing the ball to targets. But you know who needs you there? The targets!
Yeah.
These guys who want to work on timing, it's new no matter what. So it surprises me still that at this stage of the game, where there is evidence that supports that there is value to him being there, he might still be taking the stance of, I don't need to be there.
Which is weird, because when Brady went to Tampa Bay, Brady was at everything, you know? And Brady's tough to play with, because he'll get in your mustache. But the fact that he was, I mean, he was at everything.
Yeah, but I mean,
did
Rogers,
he lose his competitive grind? Or is he just, or does he just know that I'm never going to be what I was? So,
but again, this goes back to 2010, 2011, Chew. Like, because they didn't have an off-season workout because there was a lockout heading into the 11 season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he kind of realized, oh, I don't need that much of an off-season to get rolling, because he won his first MVP in 11. They didn't really have an off-season workout because of COVID in 2020. Won another MVP then. He has just never been a fan. He's been one of the guys that during CBAs has been advocating for less work in the offseason.
I mean, the discussion of him being the best ever is out the door. Would you agree?
Yes.
Correct.
But again, what does that matter when you are a first ballot Hall of Famer?
For him?
Obviously, it doesn't matter that much.
I guess.
How much juice does that game lose for you if he is not under center?
All of it.
Literally all of it.
There you go. Might not even watch, Jen. Well, and you know what? If he's
Chewy's,
there,
Chewy's going to be in bed.
If he is there, might not even watch because it's at 7:30. But hold on, wait. Oh, definitely not. I'll be in Florida. That's 8:20. Huh.
Mason Rudolph versus the Packers. You ain't staying up for that one.
I'm out.
Well, hold on. Can you at least give us a guarantee that if Rodgers is the quarterback, you will watch?
How long?
He'll catch the highlights in the morning.
He's going to negotiate.
How long? 3 quarters.
8:20.
Oh, God, no.
This is negotiating, Gabe.
Halftime. Halftime. Depends where they're at. I mean, because I was sitting here going, all right, what's worse? Did you go through a worst case scenario for him, Gabe?
I mean, what? I mean, they
worst
lose
case
all-
is they go 1-3 to start.
1-2. Who would they lose? So they'd lose to the Lions. They'd lose to the Commanders
and
lose
the Cowboys.
Okay.
I mean, so what? Best case. I mean, best case, worst case is always just weird to me, because wouldn't best case be 4-0?
Yes.
No. That's delusional.
Like, but that's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
He said that earlier in the show too. My brain was like, but I just let it roll.
All right, let me ask you this. They can lose to the Lions, they can lose to the Commanders. Mm-hmm. They're not losing to the Browns. They can lose to the Cowboys, they can lose to the Bengals.
Yeah.
Can they lose to the Cardinals?
No.
They can lose with Rodgers. They can't lose to Carolina.
No.
Lose to the Eagles, can they lose to the Giants?
I don't think so.
Lose to Minnesota, lose to Detroit. Can they lose twice to the Bears?
I mean, so what, worst case scenario is 4-13?
What's worst case?
That's what I asked you.
9-8? No, 9-what? 9-8?
Yeah. Well, let's revisit. Joshy, do you remember what the over-under was at Pottawatomie for wins? Is it 9.5?
9.5.
Yeah.
You still feel good about over?
Yeah.
9.5? Looking at the schedule, the way it's shaken out. We knew who the opponents were going to be, but now you know when they are, and you know where the bye is and all that stuff. Again, this stretch at the end of the season where it's Vikings, Lions, Bears, Broncos, Bears, Ravens, Vikings feels heavy. There's no breather there, is there, Chew?
The Broncos are good. They're not great. They're not Super Bowl, but they're playoff.
It's Sean Payton and Bo Nix, right?
Yeah. With a good, very good defense.
Yeah, I'm down on Minnesota this year. J.J. McCarthy's going to be going through growing pains. Like, he was a quarterback that probably needed to develop in the first place, and then really didn't get any of that last year because he was out with an injured knee.
So do you have him splitting, or do you got him losing both twice?
I have them beating Minnesota twice.
That's bold. People still like Minnesota. They're top 10.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I don't care what people think. I care what I think.
Oh, look at the individual over here. Stand strong in your conviction, Gabe.
I mean, we saw what they did when Darnold didn't play well.
Yeah, but Darnold sucks.
Okay, so go through the schedule very quickly and give me your guaranteed wins. You are guaranteeing, barring an injury to a major player of the Green Bay Packers, you are guaranteeing the green and gold come out on top.
Browns, Cardinals, Panthers, Giants. Those are probably the guarantees.
Bears 1, one of the Bears games.
Yeah. I don't like that they're getting the Bears at the end of the season twice. I don't like that there's 13 days between the Bears games.
That's interesting. That's weird.
I would prefer to catch the Bears at the beginning of the year, if I'm being honest. Right? As they go through their transition period, as they work Ben Johnson in, as they, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because the teams you're going to play, say, in the first 3 or 4 weeks are going to be close to full strength. And the fact that they got three tough ones out of the gate is not, I don't like it. And I don't like the way it finishes. I don't.
But, you're going to have, again, it's a tougher schedule. It's a tough schedule no matter what.
Which is crazy because I thought it was going to be an easier schedule because they had the third place schedule instead of the first or second like they have in the past.
Yeah, and I think that's always been kind of the crutch in the NFL. But it really comes down to what divisions you're playing. Because that's more important. Because last year they got to play the AFC South. And they got away with going 1-5 in the division because they swept the South because it stinks in the AFC. But now you play in the toughest division in the NFC, and you're playing one of the toughest divisions in the AFC because you've got to take on the Bengals and the Steelers and the Ravens because the AFC North is pretty good.
So would you rather have a gauntlet like they had last year? Remember the gauntlet they had where, like, there's six games in a row here that they could lose? They don't really have that this year, but the start and the finish is, I don't like.
Yeah, 12 through 18 is kind of that gauntlet, Chewy.
I don't like the start. I don't like the finish. I don't like where the bye is. Is there anything that you do like about the way that the schedule has shaken out?
Battle tested.
Look.
Spin cycle over there.
Well, no, I like that it's tough to start because you find out pretty early about what this team's made of and how good this team actually is. All right, I'm sick of this.
Yeah, but I don't want it to be a referendum. Sure, but I don't want that to be a referendum on how the whole season's going to shake out.
Well, if you go 0-2, kind of rubber stamped.
Oh, wait, what is that stat in the NFL?
Yeah.
Teams that start 0-2, 10% or something like that?
Yeah, playoffs. So, don't ease your way into the regular season. You got to jump in there. You've got three preseason games. You've got an entire training camp. Presumably, they're going to have joint practices. Hit the ground running. Don't ease into the season.
What is Matt LaFleur's record in season openers?
Very good, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I didn't think it was either, but I'm going to check. You probably are going to beat me to it. We're racing.
All right. So last year was a loss. The year before was a win, so 1-1.
Okay, I thought lost this was going to be a lot easier to find.
Lost to New Orleans.
How many seasons has he been coached? 5? This will be a 6?
This should be 8, I think,
this
right?
Is,
yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Win against Minnesota.
They got blown out in Jacksonville.
Win against Chicago.
Right, against New Orleans.
So he's got 2 losses, 4-2.
Yeah, it's better than I thought it was going to be. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It doesn't sound like you guys are finding a ton of positives in the schedule, but maybe you guys can help us find something to be optimistic about now that we have seen the Green Bay Packers schedule. Live listening, show replays, exclusive content. It is all on the new ESPN Wisconsin app. Your state, your teams, your ESPN, the Wisconsin sports fans' best way to stay in touch with their favorite ESPN Wisconsin shows and keep up with their favorite teams. You can find the new ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores. If you haven't already downloaded the app, what are you waiting for? It is one touch to listen to your favorite shows.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy, and that's where our friends at Mantality can help you. Just like they've helped me over the last handful of years, I've been so glad that they're a partner and that I get to work with them because they're a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Be tired, groggy. Don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy to attack your day that you once did. Kind of described me, but I thought, oh, I'm just getting older. Roles changing, going from an afternoon show to a morning show. Well, turns out, my testosterone levels were low. And they can do that for you, too. You go through their process, book an appointment, lowtusa.com. Get a blood panel done. If your testosterone levels are low, you get to work with Mantality. And they'll put together a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. And every 12 or 13 weeks, you go back in, make sure that those levels are exactly where they need to be. So go to LowTUSA.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. LowTUSA.com.
We've gone over the must-watch games. We've gone over the toughest stretches. We've gone over the fact that Gabe thinks there might be four guaranteed wins on the Packers' schedule right now. Look, it's going to be a doozy. But you don't want to make it into the playoffs easily. I guess that's the spin cycle we're doing this morning, right? Battle tested, said Joshy a little bit earlier. We got to get out of here. Wildy and Tasha's next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.